The views and opinions of the guest of the Optimal Health and Wellness Hour are not necessarily those of the Optimal Health and Wellness Hour.
Welcome to the Optimal Health and Wellness Hour with Dr. Christine Reese. In this program, you will learn how scientific medicine and naturopathic medicine can work together to heal your body and spirit and live a more balanced life. Now, here is your host, Dr. Christine Reese.
Welcome to the broadcast today, and thanks so much for being here. It's always a treat to have you with us, and I'm looking forward to today's program. It's something I'm very personally passionate about, creating a healthy home environment. As you know, my mission as your host of the Optimal Health Hour is to show you how you can truly feel better each and every day. And employing naturopathic options can be your key asset to allowing you to live a more enjoyable and healthy life. So this program is about showing you how it can be done without having to rely solely on heavy prescription medications that always possess side effects or having to undergo invasive surgical procedures. I always want to highlight the fact that to optimize your health, you must know your own body. And we're going to talk about that more today also, because we've got to be sensual in our own space. We need to smell it, we need to feel it, we need to breathe it, we need to see it. And we're going to talk about some of the things we can do in our day-to-day life to kind of bring that level of vibration and health to our home, our nest. So as you know from all of our shows, we talk about how our relationships, our lifestyle, our diet, our thoughts, our assumptions, and our environment directly affect our health. And today's episode, we're going to talk about the importance of creating and caring for our sacred space. The light, the nature, the sounds, the smell, the cleanliness. You know, everyone who visits my home, and it's small, but always says how peaceful it is and how beautiful the energy is. And it's really a conscientious decision I make to keep my home energy that way. And, you know, as other practitioners out there know, you know, we work a lot of hours in our clinic and with people, and we need to come home and rebuild and recoup and feel safe and don't have kind of toxins and sounds, you name it, in our environment that might be causing harm to us. So we can't rebuild if we do that and then go back to work the next day. So I'm very cognizant that as a physician, to be the best partner I can be with my whole Lotus family, so my staff and my patients, and their extended family, I need to regenerate when I go home and be conscientious about my home. So there's a quote by Rosalind Carter, who's the U.S. First Lady from 1977 to 1981, says, "There is nothing more important than a good, safe, secure home." And some really sad statistics is, according to the Environmental Protection Agency, July 10th, 2017, the average American spends 93% of their lives indoors. And those who know me know I'm a passionate outdoors person. So 87% of our lives are indoors. And then you put on 6% is in our automobiles. So that only leaves 7% of our lives outdoors. And that's a pretty sad one. That's a major ouch for most of us because we need that nature. But we're also going to talk about bringing nature into our houses more because that's a really important piece. So today we have the honor of having Carolyn Blazowski. Did I pronounce it right, Carolyn?
You did.
Thank you. So she's with us, and she's known as a national healthy home expert. She's got over 17 years experience in working with the public and physicians to create a healthy living space and improve wellness. Her certifications and education include a very good knowledge of mold, indoor air quality, chemicals in the home, green building, and healthy homes and allergens in general. Carolyn was featured in the AARP in 2016 as a leading health and safety expert. She works with physicians and patients all over the country and is a public educator on the media, radio, television, and print. And she's also the president of what's called My Healthy Home. It's a green company that offers testing services and products and consultations for homes all throughout the U.S. And that's quite a gift because as a naturopath, we run into environmental toxicities and diseases, unfortunately, every day. So welcome, Carolyn, and thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I'm excited to talk with you.
Yes. So I know that you have written, you have kind of your, what you call 16 tips to create a healthier home environment. Can you give us that kind of broad level view of what you think about when you first talk to your clients about how do we make our homes healthy?
Well, I think the first thing to understand is that in public health, and this has been a fact that we've known for a very long time in medicine, is that our environments are responsible for a very large portion of how we feel every day. So when you look at things like genetics and then your socioeconomic level, and then you look at your environment, these things play into how healthy you're going to be as an individual. And people often think, well, if I go to a physician or I seek medical care, that's going to determine how healthy I am. So really, there's a lot of things that are actually in your control that are determinants of your health. So my job and how I came to have my job after 17 years of practicing like this was that physicians were often left with a lot of unanswered questions with patients. Maybe their blood work came back okay and their urine samples were good and they didn't find anything on a scan. But the patient right. still had symptoms and they didn't know what to do. So
exactly.
it became... Go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, I just said exactly. It's very, very common.
Right. So then it became, well, what do we do? And I was fortunate to be in an industry many years ago where I saw the value in homes and the problems that could go wrong in a home. I mean, we take for granted that we buy a home and we purchase it and we just don't have to do anything to it, right? It just is there and it stands and people sort of take for granted that they have to change filters or they have to change plumbing or, but there's a lot of things in your home that actually go wrong and if you're not maintaining them really can become problematic to your health. So I started investigating those things and then of course stumbled across all the other things that we're exposed to. And found that a lot of the time, these patients and people who don't have answers really are just suffering from environmental illness, or not even illness, just environmental factors that are contributing to why they don't feel well.
Yes, absolutely. And I would say, you know, given, I think at this point I have over 1,100 patients, but I would say a quarter of them, unfortunately, an astonishing amount. Most of their imbalances and their inflammation is coming from environment. And whether it's home, whether it's relationship, whether it's work, you know, but they're being harmed by the vibrations and the chemistry of what's going on around them. And it's a huge need. And I'm so glad that people are talking about it and specializing on it as you are.
And I think the interesting thing is, so let's just name a couple things that cause this inflammation. So let's say you're a pet lover and you have, you know, multiple pets in the home. Pets are great for that spiritual calmness that they bring to us and the joy. But the downside is they bring with them a protein. And that protein that they carry, whether it's FLD1 or whether, you know, whether you're talking about cats or dogs or even horses, cows, animals, rats, mice, all of these things carry proteins that actually cause inflammation in the body. So if you have a house where you have a lot of animals and you have someone susceptible, you're going to have inflammation. Same thing goes with molds. Molds produce proteins that also produce all types of, or can contribute to all types of inflammation in the body. They also produce mycotoxins. Then you talk about things like volatile organic compounds, where all these chemicals that we're exposed to, these produce all kinds of symptoms, inflammation, and other effects in the body. So it's really easy to get to that threshold, is what I'm trying to sort of illustrate, is that it's not hard to reach a threshold where your body is just inflamed, like you said.
Absolutely. So let's go back to the statement you made about, you know, I'm buying a new house. How exciting. You know, we have this wonderful romantic, like, oh, yay, it's perfect. What would you say to me? What do I need to do if I'm buying a new house? What do I need to look at? What are your biggest red flags that I should be paying attention to so I'm not harmed?
Exactly. So the first thing is that you have to remember not all houses are built the same, and there's quality control, and there's quality product, and there's not so quality product. So if you don't know what you're looking at, you don't know, a lot of people go in to purchase a home and they don't know the difference between OSB board, for example, which is oriented strand board, or real plywood, or they don't know the difference between synthetic stucco and a real stucco. So if you don't, you want to first ask your inspector or a real estate agent, whoever you're purchasing the house with, that, you know, what is this house built with? What are the products that this house is constructed by? And then the second thing you want to do is you always want to test for mold, and you always want to test your water, because those are big fixes on the back end. If you get into a home, you have contaminated water, it's a very big issue. You may not want the house, and then you may have a problem selling it. You may have to put on a filtration system, and, you know, I'm talking about reverse osmosis and big house systems. And then also with mold, then you're talking about a big expense of remediating it. And if you have a susceptibility genetically to molds and mycotoxins, that could be a real big health hazard for you. So definitely don't buy a home without knowing what it's built with, how it's constructed, and then doing a mold and water test.
Yes, and it's really, and the mold is, I think, since moving to California for me, how poor some of the construction and some of the materials that at least are used here in Southern California that look normal. You know, and that's a real misnomer with people. I think, oh, I've got to see black on the walls or green on the walls, or, you know, that's the type of mold. But like you just pointed out, you've got to be aware of the actual building material, because it literally can be intrinsic, can it not, with inside the material?
Correct. And then the cheaper the materials that we're using now, more difficult the chemicals are to get rid of. I had a client that was in Southern California, and they purchased a new home, and, you know, they just couldn't move into it because of the odor from all the outgassing of the materials and everything that had been done. And this is not uncommon. And when we looked at the volatile organics, you know, this home was up about $6,000. So let's just put it in perspective. Where I'd like you to be, or a person that wants to be healthy, I'd like to see you under 500 volatile organics. So just to give you a range, right, so a healthy range, 500 and under, this house was testing at 5,000 and over. So very big difference. And a lot of this was, of course, because we're using a lot of cheaper product that has more formaldehyde. It has other glues and resins. It's constructed with, you know, particle board and things that really have just more product in it that are chemical or, you know, chemical oriented than a traditional wood, or if you have, you know, traditional plywood, plywood. So you've got a lot of chemicals going on. And then, of course, a lot of these products don't hold up well under water conditions because they have a lot of glues and resins. And when they get wet, they sort of crumble and deteriorate, and the mold loves to grow on them. So it's a catch, you know, it's a double-edged sword, I guess is the better way to say it.
Yeah, it really is. And it's, you know, coming from a health perspective, and I know I could go on and on and on in this, and I've done multiple environmental shows, but can you tell our listeners what you've seen from patients and physicians you've worked with as far as symptoms from this mold exposure?
I mean, they range. You know, you see people with congestion and sinusitis. You'll see people with chronic headaches. With toxic mold, you'll see a lot of people who have pneumonia-type symptoms. I usually tell my clients that if you are systemically getting multiple chronic sinus infections every year, you want to check and see what your mold counts are. Molds are immunosuppressive, so they have the ability to lessen your immunity. And what you'll find is that when you get a cold, typically you get a cold, you get sneezy, you get runny, and then you're better, right? You know, a couple days later, a week later, you're better. When it lags and you start to have, you know, sinus infections and chronic infections, pneumonia, things like that that don't go away, it's usually a symptom that the body's suppressed. And we find that a lot of people who do get these chronic infections do, in fact, have mold in their home. So that's a big red flag to me. It's like if you're starting to get colds that don't go away and stay, and then you're finding yourself, you know, having to take either antibiotics or you're systemically sick for a long time, you need to really start looking at your environment.
Absolutely. And I've actually, for our listeners, I mean, I've had people that hadn't had the mold identified in their home until much later. And in the meantime, literally have lost muscle, couldn't gain weight. I mean, didn't have any of that traditional kind of mucus sinusy, but more arthritic and just debilitating. I mean, I've had 30-year-olds who can no longer walk around the block.
And exactly.
So we have to really be aware of this, you know, and as a naturopath, of course, we focus on candida all the time because it's our number one cell in our body, and the yeast is on all of our membranes. And but, you know, again, back to immune system with leaky gut, once that candida goes through our leaky gut into our bloodstream, it's now a fungal infection systemically, and it is absolutely testable in the blood. And so we, with every one of our patients at Lotus Rain, we always test that also to see what level, because as you said, no matter if it's mold from external or our own leaky gut and inflammation, It's a major factor in our immune system, and it's something that we have to look at as far as anything chronic or what we can't get concrete answers to.
And I like to kind of talk about what molds are because I don't think people know exactly and understand them. So, you know, you'll have three things that molds do. You have mold that I say when you look at a piece of fruit or you see your shower and you're growing this fuzzy material, that's mold, right? That's the spore. And that spore has the ability to do a bunch of different things. So the spore puts off a protein, which we talked about earlier, which in a percentage of the population will cause inflammation and also allergies. The mold also has the ability to what I call smoke cigarettes, is that it puts off an MVOC, like Mary VOC. So similar to a paint volatile organic, it puts off a mold VOC that basically is like putting a chemical into the environment, and that contributes to having all kinds of symptoms. So now you've got VOCs coming off of the mold. Thirdly, if you get mycotoxin or toxic mold, you get molds that can produce what we call mycotoxins, and certain molds have this ability. They also are very territorial. So if you have had a mold problem that you've let go for a quite a long period of time and you get multiple species of mold, what will happen is these molds are very territorial, so they'll protect their space by putting off mycotoxins to actually kill the other molds. When they do that, they start impacting you and putting these mycotoxins, which are neurotoxins, into the environment. So that's why when you get a mold problem, you want to address it immediately, because if you start to let it proliferate, you get this colonization that happens amongst other types of mold, and then they start to become more powerful and they're fighting against each other. So it's interesting. They're very, you know, they're like humans. They need food and air and water and all the great things that we need. So, and they're going to protect their space. So it's really important.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, it's really important to address it when you see it and don't let water damage and things like that go longer than the need be.
Yes, it is. Let's take a break and then we'll come back and let's talk more about how you test for it and how you actually remedy it, because I know there's so much misunderstanding about that. So please like us and share with your family and friends on Facebook and visit us at lotusrain.com, and we will be back in just a moment with you.
Your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Got an ugly, embarrassing scratch on your new car and sticker shock at the estimate of what a body shop or professional detailer would charge? Unfortunately, little scratches and scrapes are a fact of life, no matter how careful you are with your new car. But all that has changed. Now anyone can get professional-looking scratch and touch-up paint repairs at home with no prior experience. It's guaranteed or your money back. Since 2009, we have been helping people just like you make their car look beautiful again and save money, too. Click the banner on the page for the ultimate car scratch remover system to find out more.
The most powerful healing remedies in the world come from you, your own body. When balanced with the right science, you achieve optimum health. That's what Dr. Christine Reese and her colleagues at Lotus Rain Services do for thousands of patients each year. They have extensive training in a wide array of proven naturopathic medical treatments. These include dietary management, nutrition, botanical medicine, hydrotherapy, detoxification, chelation, IVs, hormone balance, physical medicine, and homeopathy. The key to Lotus Rain Services is tapping into the body's unique and unmatched capability to achieve a higher state of well-being and disease recovery. If you've been to other doctors before, been on prescription medications that don't work, or just haven't felt like your old self lately, then let us commit to you. Our passion to helping you achieve optimum health. Visit LotusRainClinic.com or call us at 619-239-LIFE. That's 619-239-5433 or LotusRainClinic.com. Lotus Rain Naturopathic Clinic. Optimize your care, health, and life.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
You are tuned in to the Optimal Health and Wellness Hour. To reach Dr. Christine Reese or her guest today, please call in to the program at 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Now, back to the show.
Hi, welcome back, and thank you so much for joining us today. Please remember you can call in with your questions. So I'm pleased to have Carolyn Blazovsky with us, who's a national expert for over 17 years and experience working with the public and physicians to create a healthy home environment. She's the president of My Healthy Home. It's a green company that offers testing, services, products, and consultations all throughout the U.S. So welcome, Carolyn, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So before break, we were talking about mold, and I was saying there's a lot of misinformation about how we test for mold and how we remedy it. You know, it's I have patients all the time that, oh, my landlord came in and they put kills on the walls and it's all better now. And that's not the case at all. So, Carolyn, can you tell us about how the testing is done and what's most important about that, and then let's talk about remediation and what a lot of people are not getting proper remediation with.
Sure. So I think the important thing, as we talked about before the break, was that molds have different abilities. They have a protein, they produce a VOC, and they produce a mycotoxin. And those, because they operate in that way, it gives us up different opportunities to test. So one of the ways you can test is to do an air sample, which captures spore count. That's that fuzzy thing you see growing. It spawns off. It goes into the air. We can take air samples to see how much of this fuzzy spore we have in the air. That's the first way you can test. The second way you can test, so you're looking for spores. You can also do that in a tape lift. The second way you can test is by also taking what's called an MVOC count. So I like to use MVOCs when, say, I don't see mold, but I've got somebody who's symptomatic and I think there may be mold within the walls where you can't necessarily grab it in an air sample because these molds proliferate, and if they're in a wall, they're blocked from getting into the actual space, but the toxins they produce can get into the space. So in those cases, we use what's called an MVOC test. We take an air sample and we run it for chemicals that molds produce. The third way you can actually test, which is becoming very prevalent now and is the latest technology, is mycotoxin testing. And this is where you can take a piece of your filter or you can take a dust sample from around your register, and that goes to the lab and we analyze that for not only spore but also for mycotoxins that are produced. And these are things like aflatoxin or trichothecines off of stachybotrys. And these are little tiny micron, less than a micron big particles that come off the molds that are we're finding are more detrimental than the molds themselves. So there's actually three ways to test that I think are all effective depending on what you're looking for.
And then coming to remediation piece. So is there a difference when we're dealing with these mycotoxins versus the spores as far as what needs to be done in the house or the apartment or condo to remediate?
Yes, and there's definitely more qualified remediators than others, and there's a lot of companies out there that are very fly-by-night and are not proper remediators. And I always tell people, look, if you're looking for someone that's responsible, there's a couple great websites you can go on, acac.org and also iaqa.org. Both of these sites have great references for people who at least are certified in the industry, but you really need containment. You need to make sure that you test prior to so you know what types of molds you're dealing with. If you're dealing with mycotoxin exposure, all of these things make a difference in your remediation protocol and how you remove or get rid of materials. And always, if you can remove something without bringing it through your home, like so if you have a basement or a crawl space and you can go out through an outside location, much better than dragging these materials, you know, into a space. But a proper remediator is going to make sure these things are contained and not flying around when they're removing all the walls and different things that you may have to, you know, take out if you do have a mold problem.
And you just said a very important piece about removing walls, because that's part of this myth in our culture, and especially, unfortunately, Southern California culture, is that, we can just bleach it or we can just cover it up and it'll be gone.
Exactly.
Can you explain kind of the chemistry as far as what's happening within the material and why it's actually so important to remove the walls versus just painting over it or bleaching it?
Well, first, if you bleach, you never want to use bleach on mold. That has been long determined now. There's been a lot of studies that had shown over the years that when you combined bleach with these chemical compounds that molds produce, you could actually really create a toxic soup. So you don't want to use bleach. The other thing about bleach is that it will bleach, obviously, out the mold, but the proteins and those mycotoxins that we talk about stay behind. So even though on a physical level you're seeing this mold disappear, it's really not gone. So that's the first thing, is that you don't want to, if you've got an area over 10 square feet, you really want to address it with the proper remediation. And then obviously you have to figure out why you're getting a water source to begin with. These things come because they've got food and water and a great, you know, area to live in. So you need to make sure that you're removing the water source or the leak or making sure you're getting rid of that problem first and then removing the mold. And like I said, the molds leave behind this protein and these mycotoxins that contribute to people not feeling well. So if you just leave it there and you paint over it, you're leaving behind the actual item that is still causing you to have symptoms.
And in part of the testing, isn't it also important to go inside the walls and see? Because that's an area I know a lot of my patients are confused about as far as proper testing, because they might not ever see any of it. They just have the symptoms.
Well, that's why I use the mycotoxin testing a lot, and I like it because that's capturing the gas that these molds produce. So if you do an air sample and they're producing that gas, it will be in the air and you'll be able to see it. So typically, you know, that's a great option for people where they're afraid that there may have been a leak in a wall or there may be something in there. You know, you don't really want to go ripping apart your walls if you don't have to. It's, you know, one, it's expensive, but two, it's very, you know, destructive. So you just want to be able to test and test effectively. And I think that the testing methods have improved dramatically over the years, and the way we test is much better. So you have those options now.
Absolutely. Well, let's jump into prevention. So how are ways that people can be preventative in their home and avoid having this exposure and this inflammation?
Well, I definitely recommend everybody test every 3 to 5 years. So that means doing air samples, and usually on each level of the home, I recommend you do. If you have a basement, one on the first floor, another on the second floor, you know, another, and then one outside. So you should be doing mold testing every 3 to 5 years. And what that does is kind of give you this range as to if, you know, something's going on between the walls or you have a slight leak or the bathrooms are aging, you'll see those mold spores start to climb. And then you can kind of put on your agenda list like, uh-oh, time to redo the bathroom, time to redo a kitchen, because these things aren't indefinite. I mean, you cannot bring or have a water source come in a kitchen, a bathroom, or, you know, other water sources that people bring in, hot tubs, saunas, whatever, and then just expect that it's going to be there forever. These things have a life capacity, and then they start to leak and just deteriorate, and under toilets and bathrooms, you get sweating and condensation that happens from showering, and, you know, 25 years is my max. If your shower or bathroom is over 25 years old, you really need to start to think about a remodel. So just because something's there and it doesn't seem to be affecting you behind the walls, you're getting all kinds of funky stuff going on. So just keep that in your, you know, mind that every 25 years, you're going to have to do a bathroom over and potentially a kitchen as well.
Yes, absolutely. What are some other tips that you promote for people to help prevent?
Well, mold is basically water sources. So you want to make sure that things aren't leaking, that all of your appliances are up to date, that, you know, you're just checking your plumbing. The basements are huge. The big thing that I recommend is dehumidification. And what that means is keeping the house between 30 and 50% relative humidity. And people say, well, you know, I live in California, or I live in Arizona, or I live in New Jersey, or I live in Florida. We all have relative humidity, and we all have condensation that happens, whether it be from cold and cool air meeting warm air, so it can happen in the summertime, or we have in the winter, we've got cold space with hot space. So anytime you're getting these differentials in temperature where you've got cold versus hot in a home, you have the potential for condensation, which leads to mold. So it's really important to monitor your relative humidity, and it's a simple thing. Anybody can do this, and you can just go out to a local hardware store, pick up a relative humidity monitor, put it in your home, just put it on the lowest level. I always say if you have a basement or you have if you're on a slab or a first floor, put it there and just watch it and make sure it's not going above 50%. If it is, then you're going to have to dehumidify, or you can raise temperature. Raising temperature inside your home will also reduce relative humidity. So either way, it's really important to monitor this. And that's going to help really keep mold down in your house. So, you know, it's easy to do. Anybody can do it. Just go pick one up at the hardware store and you're going to be golden. It's really going to help you.
Wonderful. And I know that you're a regular proponent, too, of, which I love because it's part of my household, do it, removing shoes before you enter the house.
Yes, you have to. You just track so much. You know, if you're out walking around, just, you know, bacteria, pesticides, mycotoxins, all these things we're talking about, you're picking these up on a daily basis as you're walking through an environment. So you don't want that in your home and track through your place and space where you're supposed to be healthy. So absolutely.
And how about our own, like, HVAC system and air ducts and all of those pieces? What do you recommend as far as maintenance on those?
Well, definitely you have to be servicing air conditioning every season. So if you're going into your air conditioning season, it's got to be serviced. And the reason air conditioning is so problematic is, one, you're dealing with coils and condensation that happens and that has a drip pan and it has a water source. So if that gets blocked up or you get calcium or debris that clogs up the air conditioning unit, it's really easy to get mold. So that has to be serviced. With furnaces, I'm a little more lenient with my clients that you can get your furnace serviced like every other year. But mostly, you know, air conditioning systems, you have to be really cognizant. You've got to change filters on all of these things. Most of the time, you want to change it when your filter is dirty, not when your filter, just because someone tells you to change it in 3 months. Every house is so different as to how much debris gets in a filter and depends on where you live, the particulate count in your area, you know, if you're closer to a city, if you have pets, how many people live in the house. So you want to change your filter when it gets dark and it's discolored. You don't want to wait just 6 months or 3 months. So get on a pattern of looking at your filter, how dirty it is, and then change it more regularly, especially if people have, you know, asthma or allergies in the home, for sure.
Let's talk about other strategies to reduce or eliminate, like pesticides and fertilizers. And you already mentioned how important it is to have the shoes off. What other sorts of things do you encourage people to look at for their environmental exposure?
Well, what I think is really important for people to realize is that over, you know, I've been doing this for 17 years, so I have quite a bit of experience, just like you do, of seeing actual cases and seeing situations where people are unhealthy. And what I find interesting is that if I have what I call the trifecta, which I've sort of coined this little theory, but it's when you start to see multiple toxins building up in a home. So let's just say you've got a mold issue, and then you've decided you're having Terminex sprayed or some kind of pesticide sprayed every, you know, quarter, and then you're storing a whole bunch of chemicals in the house and you have high volatile organics. When we start to see these three, four, five items of high levels of contaminants at once, I usually have a person that doesn't feel well in some capacity. So what you have to realize is the body's pretty resilient. It can take a lot. But when you start to really inundate it with a bunch of different substances that can contribute to it not operating the way it's supposed to, then you get issues with your health. So look at your environment. I'm not saying to live in a bubble. I'm saying look at, this is why it's important to test what's out of kilter or line in your house and then reduce those things so you don't end up having a health problem. It's really easy to have these trifectas that happen. And when I see them, I will see a patient that has autoimmune problems or cancer or, you know, allergies, asthma, all these kind of headaches, you know, anything. It just becomes it's a real problem. So really start paying attention to what you're bringing in your home and don't just start accumulating and storing things.
And speaking of that, let's talk about radon for a minute, because that's definitely a carcinogen. I mean, it's a direct cancer causer. And will you share with our listeners kind of why that's important for us to look at and be aware of?
Well, radon is actually, you know, one of the leading causes of lung cancer in the country. Nice. And it's an odorless, colorless gas that you're not going to be able to smell or detect. And it's radioactive. So what happens is a lot of the times, you know, obviously, I don't know, in all 50 states, but in most of the states, you know, you are required to test when you purchase a home. So in the Northeast, you know, I live in New Jersey, and when you purchase your home, you're required to do a radon test, and people will do it, and then they say it's fine, everything's okay. And then what happens is we make changes to our home. We add windows, we add siding, we make the home airtight, energy efficient. And then all of a sudden, because we've made these changes, the radon gas is caused to accumulate even more because we've tightened the building envelope. So now a house that never had a problem is easily in an unsafe level. So what happens is when you make these changes to your home, it changes the air quality and then, of course, changes the contaminants that can build there. So it's really important that even if you had your house tested, you know, 5 years ago, to repeat a radon test every couple of years, especially if you've done construction. It's really important. I just did mine recently. And, you know, you make changes to your building envelope or your home that allows the radon to potentially come in. So it's real important to stay on top of it. You just don't do it once and then forget about it. I'd say, you know, repeat it if you're doing any kind of major construction.
Yeah, really good point. You know, you think, oh, we're doing these great things and getting really tight windowsills and, you know, changing out old doors. And that really is an important piece that I think a lot of people aren't thinking about when they're upgrading their home. You know, so thank you for saying that, because
that's
something.
And then that's what's happened with sick building syndrome and a lot of these issues that you hear about. It's because we've created tighter building envelopes and, you know, the houses don't breathe and don't have proper ventilation. And then all of these things you use in your house build very quickly to an unsafe level. So that's contributed, as well as the fact that we have more toxins and more contaminants. So it's just this combination that's become really bad.
And one of those beautiful naturopathic things that I always talk to my patients about and my Lotus family about is simple things that I know you do too, like leaving windows open at night and or during the day, but to always have fresh air circulating in the house. And houseplants, and how important houseplants are. Can you talk to our listeners about that piece and why that would be beneficial?
Yeah, obviously plants have the ability to take in and clean the air, and certain plants do it better than others. And what's interesting, I just had one of the companies that we work with. They're kind of an interesting array. They're called they produce a product called, they're AgroScience, but they produce a product called Garden Air. And what it is that it's basically an air filtration system that works with a plant. So now they've designed it so that you're having this biological filtration, which I think is amazing. And it allows the air to be filtered through this plant system that you don't have to water. And it's not like a typical plant, but it's actually a whole filtration system designed around plants. And actually, it's funny because they just sent it to me like a month ago to test because they really felt like my clients would benefit. And you can put these in your house versus using an air purifier. And I like it because though I do recommend purification for certain instances, I have a lot of problems with filtration systems that people use, because what happens is if you have allergies to cat, per se, and you put a filter in the corner and it's captured all these things in your air purifier and you don't change that filter has access to your airstream. So yeah, just because it's sitting in there doesn't mean that it's not in your air any longer. So people who are affected by these proteins will continue to have allergies just from the purifier in the corner. So if you're not going to change those filters regularly, sometimes it can be worse for you if you don't, if you use purification like that.
Really good point. And same with our vacuums. You know, It's one thing to say vacuum all the time and get your upholstery and everything else, but if people don't clean out their vacuums, They're putting it back into the air in their house. And it might look nice for a little while, but you're just basically spreading the toxins around even more so.
And they do make units. I like Mealy makes a unit, and I recommend this a lot for my allergy clients because of, you know, it's a canister that actually has it detaches, and then you can put the nozzle on the canister so you seal it. So it's completely sealed. Everything that you vacuum up stays in the canister, and then you can put the cap on it so it's not getting out into the air, which I really like, especially for very allergic patients, because, you know, just having a vacuum sitting, an upright sitting in the corner, exactly what you're saying. All those things are still exposed to the air. They're just in a bag in the corner. So there are better alternatives for people who have asthma and allergies.
And what was that name again for our listeners who might not have caught that?
Miele or Miele, M-I-E-L-E. And they make a canister vacuum that has a cap. So you take off your hose, you know, after you're done vacuuming, the bag is in the canister, and it's got a sealed bag and a sealed system. And then on the actual canister, you have a cap that you put so it seals everything in there. So when it's in the corner, it's not escaping into the air.
Wonderful. Well, and let's talk about just air freshening in the house. You know, we have all of this media influence, like you name it, scents that you plug in, and, you know, it's crazy to me. But what's your philosophy around air fresheners and what should be used?
Well, remember, I want you to be at about 250 volatiles, so you get to that number really quick in our environments just from the things that we're exposed to every day and bring into our homes, and gasoline and things that you carry on your clothing. So these air fresheners really create and put a lot of pressure on our breathing and our capacity in our lungs. And not only VOCs that are synthetic, but also VOCs that are natural. So people always say to me, well, I don't use anything. I just use essential oils. And then we take their readings in their home, and they're at 1,500 volatile organics, because things like orange oil or D-lumene or pine or pinene, these are naturally occurring volatile organics. Just because something's natural doesn't mean that it's healthy. Its turpentine is made from pine. That doesn't mean it's healthy. So just because something is a natural smell doesn't mean it's not producing a volatile organic. So you really want to stay away from smells in general. Look, every once in a while you want to freshen the house and put a little lavender or lemon or something like that. I'm fine with that. But you don't want to use these things consistently. Even with the infusers, which we've seen people using the essential oils, the very, very, very small particulates that come when you heat the essential oil and then diffuse it have shown to cause liver problems. It can cause liver failure. It can cause kidney failure. So these particulates, even though they're natural, really can wreak havoc just from being heated. They can do all kinds of funky stuff to the body. So you really have to watch when you're using this stuff. Natural doesn't mean it's okay. It can also contribute.
Absolutely. And you have mentioned some of the volatile organic compounds. Can you kind of give your hit list to our listeners as far as when we're thinking about what we're exposed to in our house that could just be everyday items that we don't even think about that are VOCs?
Well, formaldehyde is the big one that we're all, you know, that I'm very concerned about because just like radon, it's a carcinogen. And because of the way we build in the United States, we use a lot of this in flooring, in wallboard, in a lot of the cheap products, in cabinetry, and it's really easy to get to an unsafe number. So usually with my clients, when we're doing volatile organics, that's one of the first things I'm looking for. I always run their VOC panel, but I also run the formaldehyde panel as well. And you know, these things can kind of be under disguise, and they're in our fragrances, they're in our, like, stuff we put on our face. So if you're looking through your, you know, list of cosmetics and you're looking at the ingredients and you see, like, urea, which is UREA, that's another name for formaldehyde. So you really want to pay attention to what's in your product. A lot of women's makeup, a lot of nail polish, a lot of different lotions will have it in it. Just they throw it in as a preservative. So you want to make sure that it's not in there as well. But that's one of the things in air quality that you can easily test for. You can do a formaldehyde level and see where you're coming in. We come in a lot higher in the United States just because of how we build. And that's why you have to be conscious. It is a known carcinogen just like radon is. And it's on the list that went to the Presidential Cancer Report in 2009. So it's something I'm concerned about.
Yeah. And since we're on that subject, and I know my listeners hear me mention it almost every week on the show, but, you know, BPA and a lot of the hormone mimickers and Roundup, of course, and any of our pesticides disrupt our hormones and directly cause cancer. So being aware of what is in our environment, not just from our food. I talk about chicken and eggs, things like that all the time that have hormones, but like she just mentioned, lotions.
Right. All the lovely things that us women are exposed to, more so than men, though men are starting to be more, you know, more savvy and using all kinds of products that they never used to. But yes, these products, what we call POPs, are called persistent organic pollutants. These are the things you're talking about, like BPA and waterproofing materials. And how I describe them to a layman is that they're products that don't break down in the environment. They stay around. They're not like a volatile where they're very lightweight and kind of flighty and go away. They're persistent. They stay. They have a very long lifespan. They don't break down easily. And yes, they have the ability to be what we call obesogens or estrogen mimickers. And they basically can alter. They run very parallel and very close to our genetic makeup. So they can have the ability to kind of confuse the body into thinking that, you know, it's something that it's not.
It's good
so
for us.
Are a very big concern.
Absolutely. Well, we only have a couple of minutes left, and I would like to spend our last couple of minutes talking about a favorite subject of mine, which is light. So how important light is. I love there's a quote that I read in one of your pieces that you wrote about, you know, we can have malnutrition from food. Everybody knows that. You know, we have a fast food industry, our standard American sad diet, and we can have malillumination through not enough natural light. So can you tell our listeners what you recommend when they're thinking about lighting in their house?
Well, I think what's really great is that the more light you have, UV light, the less mold you'll have, right? So molds are, they like this dark, damp environment to grow. So I think the more you can bring in natural light to these spaces, especially bathrooms, kitchens, you know, and you can somehow get that lighting in, I think it's fantastic. So, you know, I'm a big window person, so I like to see outside. I think it's just It's just, you want to rather look at a wall or would you rather look outside? Of course, it's, you want to see your environment. So anytime you can bring in windows and lighting and things like that, I think it's healthier. You don't want dark, dank areas in your home.
And I believe you also recommend LED lighting over other types, right?
It depends. It really depends on what you're doing. What you have to be cognizant about is mercury and breaking bulbs. And incandescents are much better, as far as I'm concerned, with safety, because if you break a bulb and you have an issue with it, you're not going to have the exposure to mercury and other heavy metals that are in these lightings. So the biggest thing is you don't want to break bulbs in the house, and you really want to be careful when you are changing something that you don't, drop it or, you accidentally have a fall and you end up, crashing with this bulb in your hand. So you really want to be cognizant about don't break them in the home.
Yes, thank you. Well, we have to close for today, and I want to thank you, Carolyn, for the work that you're doing. And can you let our listeners know how they can contact you for testing?
Sure. If you want to test your home and you're interested in finding out what kind of chemicals you're exposed to, what's in your home, if you're not feeling well and you don't have answers, I think we're a great resource. It's healthyhomeexpert.com. So that's healthyhomeexpert.com.
Thank you very much. And I hope all of our listeners got some great pearls today. And you can always go back and listen again to the podcast because I know there's a lot of information there. So thanks again so much for joining us. And don't forget to tune in next Tuesday at 2 p.m. for another episode of Your Optimal Health Hour. Until then, I'm Dr. Christine Reese, and I'll see you next time. And have safe and healthy and light-filled holidays.
Thank you for joining us this week. The Optimal Health and Wellness Hour can be heard live every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.